Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. My name is Sylvia Sachs. I'm with Selma Weiss, and we are interviewing Sophie Maslow at her
And the home. Date.
And today is April 22nd, 1994. Okay. Sophie, you were talking about the pay of the firemen and the police in Pittsburgh, and you felt that that was...
Yes, they're very well paid. Of course, can't buy anybody's life because it is dangerous and it's getting increasingly dangerous. But about 3 years ago, I instituted a plan of giving free smoke detectors to people who couldn't afford them. And last year, we didn't have a single death by smoke inhalation.
That's wonderful.
I didn't know that.
We gave free all over the city to people.
How many people took them?
Oh, I don't know the number, but I just talked to, funny there, I just talked to the chief of the fire department the other day. He said to me, you know, we didn't have a single death by fire. Excuse me.
She said to me that I'm
Hello.
Business.
Oh, yeah, I called Harold early this morning. What's up? Is your money there? Oh, already?
Remember, she said that if it's a short thing, leave it on the tape is cheap. She kept saying tape is cheap.
Is there anything I can do around what? If anything you want, you think maybe you could convince her to come here? Yeah, I think maybe not for a few days, but after she gets a little stranded, she can come stay with me for a week or two. Well, that's what I thought. All right, you can keep that in mind if there's anything at all. All right. My sister, who's 87 years old, just had major surgery about 2 weeks ago. And she just went home. She went to her daughters, and she's really unhappy there.
Aww.
It's a high hospital, too. I asked her to come here.
Does she live in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, she lives in Squirrel Hill. She has her own apartment, and she did very well up until about 3 months ago. So she had to have surgery, and she came home from the hospital today. She went to her daughters, which stresses me because... She's unhappy there. I don't know whether she'd be happier here, but I will put myself on for her. So she's home.
Okay.
So to get back to the police, we have an arbitration. We go to either. They are strictly under civil service, both the police and the firemen, and absolutely, it's done according to civil service and according to the law. They are well paid. I have given, and the benefits are good. The retirement benefits are good. By and large, I think we're happy, most of them.
I wanted to ask you, too. Now, you were on the council, and then you became the mayor. And as mayor, how was your relation with your council and some of the characters on your... With the...
What's my name?
The Italian guy with the Italian name?
Chief.
Yeah, was he with on when you first...
Yes, Chief was there when I first went... Matter of fact, when I first went to council, Dick Caligiuri was on council. Pete Flaherty was still the mayor when I first went to council.
Mm-hmm.
Through the years, council has taken on a business of their own. They think they're members of the Congress. They're young. They're all young people, and they all want to use this as a stepping stone. I don't want to question their sincerity. But a lot of the things that they do don't make sense, even the present day.
You're saying that that is not their duty? I mean, what is the duty
of
the
council? There are some duties. They are not an administrative branch. They're a legislative branch. You know, I don't want to sound vindictive, but some of them are so... interested in furthering their own future. And since by and large council doesn't make news, they are trying to promote it to making news. I want to show you something. I want to show you the type of people. I had to send a memo to council, something I wanted done. And this is the answer that Jim Burton gave me.
Oh, my goodness. I will, for the recording, Jim Furlow, Sophie sent a note to Jim Furlow November 15, 1991 about parking on 4th Avenue and so on. And it was a typewritten City of Pittsburgh memo. And in big writing, he has written, "Fuck you, Sophie."
And Jim Turner.
And Jim Turner.
And he signed it Jim Furlow. So there'd be no question that this is how he did.
And he signed his name. That certainly...
That indicates the type of people that we have. That's what he wrote. That's the answer he sent me. And I called him on it right away. I said, "Jim, I'm going to show this to the press. Go ahead." He had no remorse. He didn't think he
could. I would like to take a copy of this to put in our envelope if you want.
I don't know whether I have another one. I'll see what you get. Yeah,
okay.
I miss my copying machine.
Now other counsel. So Jim came in fairly recently.
No, he was there when I was there.
When we were on counsel?
Yeah.
I thought he was new in that.
Now several of them came after me. Riccardi came, Dawkins came, practically everybody, Cohen, everybody came afterwards. The ones that were there with me, the only ones I think was Furlow, the only one that's left. Everybody else came after.
I know that there were a lot of stories and joking because people got you mixed up with Michelle Madoff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I mean, were you on good terms with Michelle?
Not really. Michelle was a tough person to deal with. Mm-hmm. She always was. She wanted to be controversial constantly. She wanted to be on the center stage all the time. And all my years in council, I never sought publicity. I never wanted it. I did what I knew I had to do, and I did it quietly in an unassuming way. Well, she was the opposite, exact opposite.
Did you feel, as a Jewish woman, a little embarrassed by her as another Jewish woman?
Constantly, because she did such crazy things. She mellowed a little bit in the end, but in the beginning, I thought she was a constant source of embarrassment because of crazy things she did. And she constantly fought with the men, constantly. And I knew that if we were going to accomplish anything, we had to find a way to cooperate somewhat. And I always did it quietly. I always went to the individual.
Did you ever take her aside and try to calm her down?
Sure. Oh, many times I said to her, well, she resented that. And as a matter of fact, and she insulted me constantly. As a matter of fact, I told her once, after I was in the mayor's office, I said, "Michelle, if you don't stop insulting me, I'm going to get even with you in spades." And I did.
Do you feel that you did get her to...
Well, I helped.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had just taken all I could take. And it was unfair. Most of it was downright insulting. Not constructive, but insulting.
Before we get to that, I think I would like to read this on the tape.
Okay.
I think this
sure,
is really
ahead.
Important. It's a letter to Jim Furlow when we were talking about this letter before and members of council. And the subject is parking fee for 4th Avenue permit holders. This is from Sophie. "As I am sure you are well aware, the Department of General Services has implemented a policy that all City of Pittsburgh employees who currently have parking privileges will be charged $3 per day, 5-day week. This charge will begin January 2, 1992 and will be deducted biweekly from their paychecks. With the exception of 4th Avenue parking, all other street parking will be eliminated. Those employees with street permits have been offered off-street parking if space is available at the $3 per day rate. Also, I am asking 4th Avenue permit holders to agree to a $3 day permit. I've attached a sign-up sheet for review. If you agree to pay the $3 per day permit fee, please complete the form and return to my office by December 1992. Thank you for your cooperation." Jim Turner and Jim Furlow, I don't even know if I should say this on tape, sent a copy of the letter back.
Not Jim Turner.
Well,
Jim Turner is her assistant.
We sent the letter.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right.
He sent it back to me and Jim because...
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was a mistake. Right. Mm-hmm. And it said, "Fuck you, Sophie."
Jim
Furlow.
Signed Jim Furlow.
And it was signed Jim Furlow.
This is the kind of people that, that are on council. This is all of the ones now. Jim Furlow is probably the greatest hazard that the city has ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel very badly about him because he intimidates the other members of council. He has gotten so much influence. He influences Mayor Murphy at this point. He's gotten a lot of people, jobs, and key positions. The city of Pittsburgh, of course, has a civil service plan. But many people, the department heads and their assistants, are appointed. He's got many people jobs that are absolutely up there.
You think that he's worse than, say, the average politician that does a little...
And I think he's better in his own nest.
For what purpose?
For some other job, I think perhaps maybe mayor or some other job, state senator in his district. He's threatened to run against the vote actually as a senator in his district. So I think that he's promoting himself.
that the public maybe that's not terribly interested in politics, but at least they get to know these names because they're on television and the newspaper, whether they're doing good or bad, like Michelle or Furlow. They want attention, and people recognize their name. Is that
That's the basic principle of politics, name recognition.
Mm-hmm.
You want to run for anything. People go into the polls who are not knowledgeable, and they recognize a name, and they vote for that person. And that is a basic principle of politics. Name recognition. And they know that, and they strive for that.
That's true, because most people don't even know who they're voting for.
That's exactly
right.
And we know that. That's a basic principle. I've been involved long enough to know all these things.
It used to be that there was party, what's the word?
Well, smoke film rooms.
No, but I mean people were... dedicated to their party, so
that's
they
exactly
would maybe vote the whole Democratic or the Republican. But you know, but do you feel that the parties have the influence that they did?
Well, in spite of what people say, I think that the party system was good. When there was a strong Democratic Party, we had good politics, we had good people, because the party leaders were always careful to put good people in those jobs, in elected jobs. And I know from my own experience, they always tried to have women, they tried to have Jewish people, and they tried to have Polish people, they tried to have a good spread of the whole city. Because Irma DeCenzo, of course, was the first female member of city council under Dave Rodge. And he became the first Register of Wills under Dave Rodge. He promoted him because he knew this had to be. And I think that the old party system, for all its faults, was good. Because they had a strong party. It goes without saying that when you have a strong party, you have a lot of power. And you can get a lot of things done. Once you divide, and then you know it, it's an old cliche. Once you divide, you don't have the power you have. And I respected the leaders of the party because they were dedicated people as well. And they had the best interest. Everybody knows, and again, it's not a cliche, that good government is good politics, and vice versa. And they operated on that principle because I was a part of that for years.
Okay. Oh, now I might be jumping around a little bit, but I have written down
please
here
do, sure.
Rita Kane, who is one of your closest friends, right?
Yes.
Now she was a woman who went up in the party system. What? Was she married to John Kane's son? Was that the...
Yeah, she's married. Rita and I started to work for the county the same day, 55 years ago. We were waiting in the courthouse to be assigned a job. We sat side by side in the waiting room, she and I. She was not married to John Kane. She didn't even know him at the time. That was Commissioner Kane's son. And we were assigned to the same department. We were both very, very young. I was 18. And she was close to that. And then we stayed together. We started a Democratic Women's Club in Allegheny County. We started a conglomeration of women, Democratic Women's Clubs all over the state. It's called the Pennsylvania Federation of Democratic Women. And it is a central place, and I was president, and so was Rita for a term, of the organization. Now it numbers something like 400 or 500 Democratic Women's Clubs all over the state. And So we began that. We began a women's club in Allegheny County. It's called the Democratic Women's Guild of Allegheny County. And we did a lot of good things that we thought together. Eventually she met John Kane and married him. But we've stayed together, friends, close friends all these years. As a matter of fact, we just came back from Florida. We still go take trips together. We talk several times a day because we know the same people. We know all of these things, the background of a lot of these people. But she's been a good, good friend. She's Catholic. I've gone to Mass with her when we're on trips. And we've been real good friends. And she was a pioneer in the women's movement. No question about it. And we talk about it all the time. We did yeoman service.
Now, she just retired this time, too.
No, she retired last time around. She's been retired about 3 years now. She and I opened Democratic headquarters. We literally scrubbed desks, moved files, she and I together, to get things started.
It's wonderful to have someone like that and continue. So often when you change jobs, you lose contact with people.
Mm-hmm. Stayed together all these years. We went everywhere together. We shop together even now. We're great shoppers. We go shopping together. Mm-hmm. We go to Reading. We go places together. She's been a good, good friend and practically a sister because we know each other's families and our problems. Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you moved out of council and became a member, I'm just checking all this. At the end of your the term that you had been elected on your own, what made you decide not to run again?
Well, for one thing, after close to 6 years, it took its toll because I took everything seriously. Extremely seriously. It was so stressful, so worrisome. I had no time to think of anything else. And it's a time-consuming job if you want to do it right. I was on the job 7 days a week. Every night there was some function in Pittsburgh that I had to go to. And there were a lot of practical things that men don't have to do. I had to have clothes and I had to have my hair done. I had to do all of these things. I had to stay on a rigid schedule. So that I just decided that it was taking its toll, and to do the kind of job that I wanted, that I had been doing, and that I wanted to do, I just felt that it was just too tough. Although I felt I could do it if I wanted to, because I always believed that if you wanted to do anything bad enough, you could do it. Even though you paid the price for it, but you could always do it. And I know I could have done it, and I believe in all sincerity that I would have been elected. I really believe that. Because I meet people every day now who tell me that.
I'm sure you will. Okay, I noticed I made some notes here. Among the very heavy duties, you had some fun things like being on that talk show, Say Jack, and then you went up to China. Now,
trip on the Say Jack show is, of course, you know, nationwide television. And I'm not photogenic, and I'm not crazy about that, about doing things like that. But it was when they came to me first, they said, people have to know about Pittsburgh, and that hit a thing. We need to promote Pittsburgh, and so I agreed to go on the show. But that too was a job. And then we have an organization in Pittsburgh that's Chinese-based. And they came to me and said, we would like for you to go to China, to several cities, and talk about Pittsburgh. Maybe we could promote some trade, promote some small industries. And that was one terrible trip, too, because it was running constantly.
When was that? What, you know it now?
That was 2 years ago. As recent as 2 years ago. Before that, I was on a panel in Japan. I went to Japan. On a panel.
On the same trip or another trip?
No, not a trip. Where I spoke on housing in the United States and in Pittsburgh particularly. I never went on any of these trips where I had any fun because when I went, they were all structured and I went with a purpose in mind.
have been to several places since I've been there. I went to LA on a forum, again, on a speaking forum, where I had an audience with the Pope.
Where did you go?
To Italy.
Oh, I thought you read LA.
I went to Italy.
You had a personal?
I went to Bergamo was the name of the city, Bergamo. And while I was in Italy, I had an audience with the Pope, which is, of course, thrilling. Then I went to Germany on another trip, and I went to Bergen-Belsen.
Oh, and what? Was that an official trip?
Everyone was. I never went.
Why would we need to go to Germany?
We went to Germany when we were considering putting in that new line, that new type of line called
transportation thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It had to do with the new line that they were talking about putting in, and they wanted us to see the factory and see how this line operated and how. At the time, they were building the Greater Pittsburgh Airport, and we were considering putting in a direct line from downtown Pittsburgh to the airport. This was the title was rail, at the end of the rail, I can't think of it now. And so we went to Germany to see this line. So
would go with you on a trip like that to Germany, say?
Well, generally it was the department head concerned with that particular mm-hmm. thing. When I went to Germany, George Whitmer went with me. Because it had to do with URA. When I went to China, Zecker's son, who was in our URA, you know, Steve Zecker, his name is Steve Zecker's father, Al Zecker.
Oh, yeah.
He went with me to Japan, mostly some person who said that we could come back and then in case I forgot anything. But when I went to Germany, one of the things I insisted on doing on my own, because otherwise my days were scheduled and structured, I wanted to go to Bergen-Belsen.
It was absolutely
something I'll never ever forget. Before I went to the mayor's office, it was during the Refusnik area, I went to Russia with a group of people to visit Refusniks. And of course, one of the important things was to go to Kiev. And I'll never forget that, Baba Yar. All of these things make you a better Jew, really. Those things were always important to me. Whenever I went to any of these places, I told them in front that I was Jewish. And that's where my sympathies were.
Did you have any relatives anxious to go to Bergen-Belsen? Did you have any relatives who were killed in the Holocaust, or this was just in general?
It was just because I couldn't forget, and that was before the museum, the Holocaust Museum was built. But these things I thought were so important, I had to come back and tell the people about that, about Bergen-Belsen and the mounds that were still there, 40 years later, where there were mass burials.
So it was just left, it's been left
yeah,
just as
mm-hmm,
it is?
There were mounds, and they said, the guide said there were 400 people buried here and 400 people buried here. And a lot of the things were still there as a museum in Bergen-Belsen. And of course, Baba Yar in Kiev, that was another spot. I'd read all about these things for years, and I just wanted to see them for myself. And when I came back, I told people about them.
When you were in Germany and you were with officials, did they, seem guilt-ridden or anything as far as knowing you were Jewish and talking to them?
Not really, and that bothered me too. When I went to Bergen-Belsen and when I went to Kiev, they were very matter-of-fact about it. I was very emotional. I was ready to cry. I said Kiddush at the Baba Yar. And I was very emotional, but they were all very matter-of-fact. They just spoke of these things. Well, it happened, so what? But I was very emotional. I couldn't pass it off that way. See, I grew up in a real Jewish household, an Orthodox Jewish household, and I had a feeling for us.
When you hear now about Yugoslavia and all that, does it seem parallel in a way, or, that they're killing each other off?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to criticize, I always think, every time I read something, I think, well, that could have been handled another way. But it does distress me because it's so similar to what happened before. See, I'm old enough to have seen many of these things happen before. History does repeat itself.
Okay. Okay, two things. What do you feel the prime duty of a mayor of a city is, to be a leader, or to, how do you think of the duty of a mayor?
Well, of course, to be a strong leader, to do what had to be done, whether it was popular or not. For the 6 years that I was mayor, I knew how tight money was. I knew Pittsburgh had an aging population. For the 6 years that I was there, we did what we had to, and I never raised taxes. Now, Murphy says that there's a big deficit, I want him to show me where it is, because when he came into our office in the early periods, we showed him the budget, we showed him exactly what we had, exactly what was, and he had no objection to it. So we left the budget down, and we had an A1 credit rating, bond rating. We went to the bonding agencies in New York every year, Standard & Poor's, and we were under fire. They asked us all about it. We had an A1 bond rating through all of those years. I went personally to those meetings. So that there was a lot of things. And of course the duties, one of my big problems the last couple of years, of course, was crime. I tried every program that came down the pike. Any foundation, any federal government, any government who came forth with a program that they thought would help, we implemented every single one. Every foundation had a program for teenage pregnancies, for battered women, no matter what it was. We immediately picked it up and took the money, took the grants, and worked on it. And it seems to me that it didn't work. Now, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what more I could have done or what more can be done today. Knowledgeable people tell me that the problem, of course, begins in the home. If these kids were at home where they should be, where they had proper parents, we know, too, that many of these homes, they are second, third, and fourth generation on welfare, and of course, the drug problem.
Sophie, what do you think about, you know, this business with the caning in Singapore? Do you think that coming down harder on these people, these criminals, would help?
Well, I told you before that I'm very sentimental. And being a mother, I don't think I could bear to see what happened to my kid. I think maybe we should be a little stricter in this country. There's no question about it. But they're inflicting physical pain. I don't know if that's the answer. I